Hello, everyone. This is That Damn Pipsqueak, and I'm bringing you yet another episode of The Other Modern. I am joined once again by Dodger.
Heyo.
And Cyberchronometer.
Hello.
So, this GP, Grand Prix Paris, was definitely... Well, it was the first GP that we had Moncard's legal for. And I feel like they showed up in force. Before we get too deep into it, I think we should all just kind of talk about what decks we chose to bring to the GP, what the reasoning was, and then, you know, how it went for each of us. I'll go ahead and start, because mine should be pretty brief. So, for any of you who were tuning in the last episode where I expressed that, you know, I was ready to hang up my interactive cards, that ended up being a total lie. But I promise it was for a good reason, which was I noticed people were playing a lot of creatures, and when people are playing creatures, Exeunt tends to be good. So I realized that if there was a GP where I could justify playing control, it was going to be this one. And so I really, really just had to make myself do it. So I ended up sleeving up Heart Attack with a bunch of Turn 1 Disruption. Epic Encounter is basically Intrepid, but better in that deck. The deck felt very streamlined, at the very least in the gold fishing and preliminary testing I did.
Yeah, well, that scans for me. I guess I can go next. So, kind of similar to Pip, when... actually, I had my eyes on playing an updated version of Wonderful. Because I was pretty excited about 10 to the Grove, and I realized pretty early on that 10 to the Grove and Epic Encounter is a really strong package, because it lets you ramp while also, if you happen to hit an Epic Encounter, then you can grab whatever whatever target fits your curve. So I was running Wonderful with that. I had a 5-0 run in League with it, but I think I kind of realized that there were a lot of decks that were popping up with Mon that were like hyper-efficient aggro decks, using stuff like Scuttling Gnat and Bunny Companion. And I kind of felt like Wonderfall was too slow to keep up with those decks sometimes. So I ended up wanting to play a different deck that could use the 10 to the Grove and Epic Encounter package, but in something that could go toe-to-toe with aggro. And I ended up deciding that Tendril Snare felt like a card that was really well-positioned for me in the meta, because it's almost the best thing you can do against an opponent's 2-drop as a ramp deck, is just, kill their 2-drop and ramp at the same time. Like, sure, you're ramping them too, but you're going to use that mana better than your opponent, is the idea. So I ended up playing a Naya ramp deck with a 10 to the Grove Epic Encounter package, mostly consisting of, 4 Planeswalkers and a Sangjin, and then ended up topping out with Earthquake Behemoth, Rock and Roll, and Tyrant of Tributes for Mon. Cyber next?
Yeah, so I actually picked my deck based on a misread of the meta. I was pretty confident that the vast majority of the sort of decks that played to the board in the GP, really, would be using gods and Pokemon to kill you. That those would be sort of the staple threats of the GP. And Pipsqueak and Anna had a conversation on the MSE server about Force of Train, or less colloquially, Last Stop, lining up really well as interaction into them. And so I decided I wanted to build a deck that could justify playing Last Stop. And I sort of combined that with Last Stop is at its best in a deck where you can both use the combo of Last Stop with Wither to 11 people and have that be relevant, and also where you want to be interacting a lot. And so that means some sort of tempo deck. And I think one of the better tempo shells in the format at the moment is Duck Duck Moth.
Yeah, big agree.
So I ended up sort of combining Duck Duck Moth with Last Stop and Winnow combo.
Yeah, just to explain how the combo works for people who might not be familiar. Last Stop deals 11 damage to a creature. And Vicious Lasher is a creature that whenever it attacks, it can grant Winnow to any target creature you want, which is an ability that whenever this creature takes damage, you lose that much life. So it's kind of a two-card combo that randomly domes your opponent for 11.
Yeah, and out of the sideboard, you also have Reign of Ruin, which is a pyroclasm that grants Winnow.
Right, yeah.
So I felt like we all kind of described the general feeling we were getting, and, you know, I'd say I kind of made a good guess in that I managed to hit four decks that were either aggro or, you know, aggro combo type of decks. But just so happened that each of them, my interaction lined up kind of awkwardly into, I guess is the best way to phrase it. So I played against Red-White Xerox, where Exeunt is sometimes very good, depending on the start they have, and sometimes very bad. And in general, the interaction suite I had just ranged really wildly. So sometimes it felt like, oh yeah, I just have all my answers cleanly lined up, and sometimes it felt like, man, this whole plan of one-for-one-ing my opponent is just the stupidest thing I could have come up with. I definitely felt like Rot really pulled its weight in that match and in the GP in general, which is nice because I felt that card was kind of unplayable in the face of Singularity's Grasp. But turns out having high toughness creatures at low CMCs makes Rot a lot more appealing. So I beat Red-White Xerox. I beat... I can't remember the other aggro deck I played against. And then I lost pretty horrendously to the Dova Thum aggro slash combo-ish deck that you know, had one hell of a run. And it turns out when your removal is check if the creature has CMC 3 or less, toughness 3 or less, toughness 2 or less, all of that lines up really poorly into 4 mana 4/4s. And I somehow stole game one via just outlinearing them as heart attack, which was definitely weird and unexpected, I will say. But then in the following two games, I just died. And it did make me think briefly, like, you know, huh, I wonder if it would just have been better to be on, like, a more pure ramp deck rather than this, like, combo control shell. But a little bit too little too late in terms of that decision. And then I also died horrifically to red-green counters, which is a deck I had actually built. And then Tumbles took it for a spin and went on a tear. So it's always a weird, bittersweet feeling to lose to a deck you built. But
yeah,
it was a case where some of it was my removal didn't line up great, i.e. the creatures outside some of the removal spells I picked, and some of it was just, it was a bad deck to try to removal against. So, I don't know. I definitely felt like I had the right read on the meta, but I interpreted that read incorrectly, or I chose my answers incorrectly, or something. But I was, at the very least, surprised that Bring a Bunch of Exeunts ended up lining up so poorly into creature decks.
Yeah, I can kind of understand that. I don't think it's possible that what you made, like when you made a decision to bring X removal spells, like that wasn't even the incorrect decision, and maybe this was just kind of like an anomaly. Because like our metas are always going to be a little bit unpredictable, and that's kind of the inherent risk when you show up with a control deck.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I can go next. So my tournament went pretty well overall, I'd say. Hard not to say that, I guess. My first round was actually kind of funny because I was matched up against McGuffin, who at the last minute had tried to find a deck to play and had net decked a list from Insert Name, which was a kind of like very linear combo deck that tried to use Steamwalker to like basically one shot or basically to like draw your whole deck and like loop through your whole deck and cast some card that like does chip damage and then basically win that way. Except the awkward part was MacGuffin realized before we played that his deck actually had no way to cast the chip damage card in the main. So he could loop his deck as much as he wanted to, but he would never be able to actually win the game. And so, like, MacGuffin actually just conceded to me immediately and dropped, which I thought was, like, pretty sad, but also understandable, I guess, like, why you wouldn't want to play that out. So I guess I kind of just got an accidental buy in the first round. The second round I was up against, I believe it was Herzy. Oh, yeah, and Herzy was on kind of this, like, five-color, it was like, base blue-white splashing for three other colors, except it was basically a mono-blue deck that also had Heraldry. Kind of had some like, mana-based wizardry there. And I think I was actually not favored in that matchup, but I was lucky enough that Herzy basically managed to dodge drawing any of their Recall Forgotten Eons, which was basically the match-breaking card there. So that meant I was able to kind of just, like, one for one with them until I eventually got. I managed top deck Tyrant of Tributes, got it Journey's Ended, top decked another one, and then I think I shuffled my deck and got a third one. So, like, pretty hard for Herzy to win that matchup with, like, two lands. Then round three, I played against Caillou. Notably, I was running into a lot of matchups that were not what my deck was designed to beat. I think that the Caillou matchup was probably like a 20-80 in Caillou's favor. Not really much to say. It was a tough matchup. I ended up losing that one. Round four, I got matched up against Gender Terrorist, who was running a black-green mid-range deck that I designed. Pretty straightforward 2-0 there. I think I was favored. Made it to the top eight, so I was matched up against Chumbeck. And I actually thought Chumbeck was going to beat me because a lot of Chumbeck was playing like mono white hate bearers essentially, and a lot of his hate pieces actually lined up really well into me. Like Toddy is really good against Tendril Snare. I can't get any value out of my like Jobias and Earthbreakers if he manages to protect an Ethereum Abrogator. But luckily, my ramp pieces weren't countered, and that meant I had enough mana to like kind of dodge the invalidates. I also ended up in postboard. I was able to cast and reprise a Meteor Volley a total of four times. So like I had two copies that I got double use out of, which was pretty sweet. So thanks to Pip for that recommendation for my sideboard. And then in the semifinals, I faced Cyber, which I think was just an unfortunate match from Cyber's side because I think they actually had the second game in the bag, except there was a moment where I attacked with, I attacked for six into Cyber's board. Cyber had two Night Song Swans in play, so would probably be able to win the game on their next turn. But then Cyber chose not to block. Like not to chump either of my attackers, and I could just germinate four times and get exact lethal. So I kind of managed to luck that game out, honestly. And then in the finals, I faced off against Clipster. That match was a little spooky in some ways because the grave hate that I put in my sideboard, Spore Flip Protector, actually didn't work very well because one copy of Beneath the Zadina totally blanks it. But I think. Like, I played the matchup well. Clipster only got the nut draw in game one, which meant that I was overall able to just be like, okay, you know, I'll play my Earthbreakers, play your Dragons, I resolve Tyrant of Tributes, the game's over. So, like, overall, I think my tournament went well. I think my deck was, like, reasonably picked for the meta, even though the matchups I hit were not really the matchups I was expecting to hit. Yeah, I think Tyrant of Tributes is really good. I think people should be playing more Tyrant of Tributes.
Tyrant's great, yeah.
The one thing that I, the one round that I forgot as we were talking through, I was reminded, I played against green white, turbo fog spewer.
Oh yeah, that deck seems sweet.
Yeah, which I thought on paper, and everyone I've talked to disagreed with me. I thought on paper that that was meant to be a bad matchup for me, because mm-hmm. I'm all non-creature spells, and that deck is really good at taxing non-creature spells. But that was a match where all of my interaction lined up very, very well. And my opponent bricked on a third land in game one for like one too many turns. And just in general, didn't lock me out as hard as I expected to be locked out.
Oh, so you're saying we didn't need to nerf Fox Viewer?
Yeah, that should be the takeaway here.
We should talk about Cybers Run now, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to talk about my first and third rounds at the same time, and skip to the second one till later, because rounds one and three, I got matched up against decks that on the surface looked very different, but had pretty similar game plans. So that's round one, Cajun's Knight of the Living Lackey Boss, which is this sort of grindy unearth artifact aggro deck. Very cool. A lot of neat synergies and interactions in there. And round three, I got matched up against that same green-black deck of Gender Terrorists that mm-hmm. Dodger already talked about. And they're both attacking on fairly similar axes of, you know, beating down, but in a way that just generates more and more value. And using their graveyards to do so. And the thing is that the deck I was playing was kind of able to both go under and over that. Because I had faster threats, and I also had, you know, sort of absurd late game options like Night Song Swan and Anish too. And
yep. Okay.
So that though those two matches in a lot of ways, my deck didn't feel fair, even though strictly speaking it was a fair deck. It was very much sort of, yeah, they felt lopsided matchups, and they felt lopsided in deck construction.
I think in general, what made your deck so good was that, people would assume that you were playing an aggro deck, and they would assume that you could kind of operate on the kind of general axes of, I just have to stabilize the board, and then I'm good. But like, in reality, it's kind of an aggro deck with a combo finish, where the combo is just these two cards get your opponent to 10.
Yeah,
I think that's part of what makes your deck so good.
It honestly has kind of a Tarmo Twin feel to it.
Yeah, I could buy that. Yeah,
where you have fast clocks, you have interaction, you have a combo finish. If you get left alone for too long, you can just sort of operate on every axis.
Mm-hmm.
Round two, I was up against Blue-Red Burn, Dr. Chilbrain's list in particular, which, you know, that was a very exciting matchup, because there was a lot of fast clocks on both sides, basically very sort of swingy.
I feel like Burn has to be favored, right?
That's yeah. Me. It's favored, but it's really draw dependent.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Burn's average hands are favored against my average hands, but
are you running one mana removal?
I'm running.
Didn't you not play that matchup? Or did Chilbrain scoop the
third? I think Chilbrain scooped round three.
Okay, my apologies. I got my rounds mixed up.
No, I didn't.
Oh, really?
I didn't play that one in a way that counted.
Oh, so you played it, but then
Chilbrain that was the anyway? Game loss Dr. Chilbrain had.
Okay. So Pip was right. Pip was right. Okay.
So I did not play that one for, you know, actual rounds.
Yeah. Should we explain like what happened with Chill, or does everyone already know that?
I feel like that's.
I don't think it needs to be relitigated.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. All right, let's move on. Yeah.
Mostly rolled. In any case, yeah. But that is sort of nominally the measure. Anyway, where was I? Round four, right. Round four, I was playing against Chumbak on the sort of Hate Bears style of list, which was very cool. Lots of, you know, lots of creatures that are hard to interact with and that are good at shutting down opposing decks. And that was extremely close. I basically lost that match to very small outplays by Chumbak, and I want to give big props there. It was, you know, close in skill testing. I used removal on the wrong creatures and probably lost to, you know, small decisions like that. And that matchup, we were both already in the finals. So in the finals, I played against Parasign on Ponza, basically.
It was kind of like a ramp Ponza, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of ramping into the Witch Queens. And I honestly don't remember that match very well.
I feel like that game is super easy for you. You get in under their, you get in under them, like you're already on the board by the time they can start attacking your mana. You have counter magic for, you know, their expensive spells. You have fast clock. Like I feel like that match is kind of just free for you, right?
Yes, but you lose if they ever resolve a Regal Ignition.
That is true, yeah.
You cannot beat Regal Ignition.
Yeah, and they have four stands in the sideboard, so I could see that potentially going their way, I guess.
Yeah. It is not a trivial matchup, but it is, I think, a favored one. And then, you know, in the semifinals, I played against Dodger, and we've already heard how that one. I made bad decisions game two. I tilted off game three and made even worse decisions, and that was kind of it.
Yeah. I think if that if our game three had been the game two, you might have actually won that one as well. Because it sounded like the tilt may have negatively impacted your decisions in game three as well.
Just it from where definitely I was sitting. Did. I was playing.
I didn't see so anything. And I was like, "Oh, that's definitely wrong." But like, you said that, so I believe you. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it if making better decisions would have been enough to win that game. You did have a very strong position.
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't have lost nearly that quickly.
Yeah, I definitely buy that.
Regardless, it was a very good run.
I was happy to see Bitter Duckling doing well.
I never felt like my deck failed me. I felt like all of my losses were on me as a pilot. Like nothing felt unwinnable just in matchups.
Yeah. That is kind of the mark of a great deck, is that you don't really have any like 0% matchups, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe not even any 30% matchups. I don't know.
I think that's a whole other conversation, right?
Because
thing about, like, Jund is the perfect example of a 45-55 deck or whatever. But there's also, people have done math analyses that suggest that actually, and if you're going to a bigger tournament, you're much better off picking a 70-30 deck and hoping to spike rather than a deck where you're going to have to fight for your wins and sometimes you're just going to get unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it comes
down
to...
Yeah, but I feel like I have exclusively 60% matchups. Like, it's not quite... It's not actually that good. There's plenty that aren't, but that's kind of what it feels like.
I feel like the matchups that are not 60% for you, people don't really play those kind of decks because those decks usually need to would be something like blue-white control or like Esper. And people don't really play white and control decks these days, I don't think.
I mean, I think my heart attack matchup is terrible.
Yeah, I could
What kind of an idiot would play control decks with removal spells? That's just asking to get rolled.
I was very lucky to dodge Pip in this tournament, honestly.
I feel like that's something that people say after every single tournament. And I'm never hitting those people. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, you kind of have terrible pairings luck, honestly.
That's, I think, the reasonable read.
Honestly, same. I have terrible pairings luck.
Hasn't really stopped you, though.
I feel like I have pretty good pairings luck.
Actually, the funny thing is, Cyber, who finished in the top four, Plipster, who finished second, and me, who finished first, all had... three win rounds. Like, Clipster had the buy in round one.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I mean
that helps.
Winning rounds is correlated with winning tournaments.
Although I think there's usually a pretty strong negative correlation between gets the buy and wins the tournament, mostly because of how buys are given out in later stages of the tournament.
Well, I mean, if you do, like, what about guess the buy in round one?
Like, that's that probably helps a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those lucky pros used to get all sorts of buys round one, two, and sometimes even three. It was bullshit.
Did I tell you about how I played? Oh, no, that's a, yeah, okay.
Yes, so, you've mentioned it, though.
Yeah. We should talk about next UP, right?
Yeah, so the next GP is in a couple of days. I'm planning on not taking this GP very seriously because I think I've been having some incorrect approaches to the past couple GPs. And so I'm planning on just playing something that speaks to me.
Dodger Roulette.
See, the last few times I've spun the wheel on Dodger Roulette, I've been very disappointed with what I've gotten.
What? How is that even possible? You saw that, that red deck I sent you, right? That deck was me.
There was definitely a deck that you sent me when you first pitched Dodger Roulette during one of our... just what was it? It was like the event where just people showed...
CNM.
Yeah, it was just a CNM. and I looked at it and I was like, never mind, actually, this was a bad idea. But, like, in all seriousness, I don't know, like, there's a non-zero chance I play Villainy despite the fact that I'm pretty sure Villainy is the wrong place to be if you want to win a GP. Just, like, I miss casting Villainy and then casting other dumb things. Maybe I'll throw in an Unholo Concordant in it because it'll be funny.
There's something to be said for, like, you know, just playing something that you enjoy. Like, that will make you more likely to win games.
I definitely think the one unfortunate thing is... traditionally speaking, the past couple decks I've brought to GPs, like Heart Attack, for instance, are decks that I do enjoy in abstract, but I rarely enjoy getting wrong-halved in control decks, and I rarely enjoy just feeling like I lost because of my deck choice. But I think some of that is mindset, where I was definitely going into those GPs with the, like, with the desire to spike them in some capacity. And I think that maybe it would help to just view it as, it's four rounds of Magic that I'm committed to playing. It'll be fun to play four rounds of Magic.
Yeah, that's like sort of my approach, except I always try to bring something that I think is actually good. Like, I mean, it can be some level of meme. I can't always bring Chonkord, but like,
of course.
like I don't know. I think like I chose ramp because I actually thought that I would be facing more aggro than I did. And like the thing about these aggro decks is if you're not prepared, you will die on turn four.
Yep.
Like you just will. So yeah, I mean I think keeping a read on the next GP is important. I'm not really sure what the read is though, because like we don't have a new set and that usually dictates some amount of what people play.
Right, and it's not like we rolled out some like really harsh nerfs so we can expect, yes, people won't be on X deck or Y deck. Like,
yeah, I mean, we
just see people run bad things.
I'm guessing that, yeah, it'll look pretty similar to the field we saw in this GP.
And so that means
I still want to be on something that's both fast and disruptive. I don't know what. That might be running back Duck Duck Moth. That might be switching to Hate Bears.
So I've actually been
going to be switching to Hate Bears.
I've been thinking about finally playing Theocracy because I've been courting Theocracy for a long time. I think it might be time to seal the deal. I don't know. I may just run back Parrots because God, it's been a long time since I played Parrots, and I feel like people have stopped remembering that Parrots is still really fucking good.
I was so also considering Parrots.
I need to shill it some more.
Probably something more like my Thunder Road Parrots that I played in League rather than. Mm-hmm. You know, your style of Parrots, but Parrot Pools is a good card.
Okay, how about Concept? Oh, no, I've already suggested... Never mind. I was gonna say, like, Theocracy Parrots, but I think I've already memed about that before.
I don't think that works.
I mean, Plasma Addict works for both.
We have found one card. Drop.
I don't know. There's gotta be a lot of good multicolor two drops, right? Just kind of shove them all in.
There's less than you'd think.
There's more than you'd think.
This Howling Shieldbreaker is pretty good.
Chili's fine. I hear Chili's okay.
Bitter Duckling.
Card's pretty
Bitter
good.
Duckling is legal. I really want there to be one GP or one instance where I can register Risen Raven and not feel like it was a mistake to do so. Because I love that card. That card is like Baleful Strix, but like a reasonable Magic design. and it can run away with games. Like it's basically by the sea.
Yeah, I think
except
it's
better
like...
against aggro.
So I wonder if you can play this in like... So I played an Esper control deck, right? That ran like kind of a package of two drops, and then also ran Tiny Hero and Toddy. I wonder if you can just like run this as a tutor target.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's really good in the control mirrors.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The main issue is just if I'm a player and I have access to black my deck, I'm going to be running four copies of Exian, basically without fail. Like, there's been a couple occasions where I've gone fine and traded out my Exians for Twilight Ambush, but Those decks are few and far between.
Yeah, I mean, the deck I was playing was running Twilight Ambush.
I think
I placed with it in League. I'm not positive on that, but I think I did.
I'm excited for this next GP, but I also am very curious to see, you know, what other ways people end up taking the decks. I still think there's a lot of underexplored tools in Mon. I still think there's a lot of underexplored tools from MS3. It should be really interesting going forward from here.
I will say I'm willing to do mercenary work, so if someone has something they want me to break, I don't know what I'm playing, so you can ask me for that. So let's get it.
All right. And I think that'll be an episode. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out. And I'm looking forward to doing another recap in, you know, a couple weeks.
Woo!
Catch you in a couple of weeks.